Works is Shannon Race. She's a local area resident and comes with a bachelor's art from Elizabeth City State University, and we're delighted to have her on board. She's got a great professional background in business and the types of skills we needed in public works to take the role that that Nell had when she was there. The new facilities maintenance specialist, Mr. Vaughn, transferred to building inspections, and so we backfilled his position. His new position is filled by Mr. Peter Welsh. He started work on July 14th. He's a local area resident from Crozet and has a lot of great background in building and business and construction fields, which will help, which will be a good replacement for Mr. Vaughn, who was so good at that job as well. And then Mr. Brad Robinson, I think Brad is here tonight. Brad, stand up. Brad Robinson is our new senior planner, comes to us from the Lynchburg area, has a great background in a bachelor's degree from University of Virginia in urban environmental planning, but has more than a decade of really good experience in planning and zoning. And so we're great to have him on board to support our team. And then just on Monday, Stephanie Kuther started as the new program support specialist in planning. And so we're back up to full strength in all those departments, and pleased to have Stephanie on board too. She's got many years of experience in administration and bookkeeping, and will be a great addition to planning as well. So we're pleased that those four folks are on board. The Historical Society has been working on a publication about the Rosenwald schools in Savannah County, and just wanted to show you this map that Mr. Newman from planning had created for them. This will be probably part of their publication. It shows where the I think there were six originally Rosenwald schools in the county, five of them still standing. And so you can see them on the map there and where they're located throughout our county.
I'm pretty sure that Lone Star School is not a Rosenwald school. I'm just trying to prove it.
Okay. Once you do, we'll
yeah,
tell those rascals that
it's
never, the society.
Yeah, it's never. So. It's in the records, but.
How about in the Cunningham district?
Mm-hmm.
Over across from Antioch Church,
uh-huh.
That used to be a school there. What
right.
was
it's
that?
It was probably for white children.
Uh-huh.
Most of, there are some that similar, like Judy Creek School looks like a Rosenwald school,
uh-huh.
but it's not. I don't know where they were built. We need to do a lot more research on this white schools in the community. We know about the big ones like
uh-huh.
Columbia and Cunningham. Joanne Jones was doing some research one time, but that's another thing. I hope Senator would take that up so we can get some history about those schools as well.
I was going to add one thing. We did some professional development, and Ms. Johnson was going to come speak to us about the Rosenwald schools on Monday. She unfortunately got sick, and we were stuck with Coach Carter and Mr. Scruggs and I trying to come up with as much history, and we were bailed out by Ms. Booker. We got her on the telephone and put her on speakerphone, and so she bailed us out talking about the history of the Rosenwald.
I would ask for extra, Mrs.
Thank
Booker, because
I've already added your extra points because I was sitting in front of the class.
I didn't even know who I was talking to, so you were in the room.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm so glad. You're a champion for me. Did I do pretty good?
You did wonderfully, because before you, it was me.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But I'm telling you right now, you were great.
Thanks.
Things are all relative.
Watch out.
So another thing, if you see on the screen there, Jan Pavlaka, a local resident, actually lives in my neighborhood, did some time putting together this owl weather vane that had been donated by the Savannah County Master Gardeners and put it on the new the pole barn that's the garden area near the picnic shelter, or the picnic shelter near the garden area over at Pleasant Grove. So it's a nice addition to the park over there. Attaboy's for the Planning and Zoning Department. This is a comment that we received from a business agent, real estate agent, that worked with our planning department, and especially Mr. Newman, but others in the planning department too, and said, I look forward to doing more business in Savannah County because it's so much easier here than other areas. So another good kudo for planning and the work they're doing. They've got their new signs down there say, we're business friendly and ready to assist. So, and that clearly demonstrates that. Also, VDOT did some work for us. Jason Smith had coordinated with them. The old 2J's restaurant, the new cafe that's going to be at the corner down there, was all overgrown next to it because that was the old VDOT right away for the old bridge. and VDOT came in and cleaned that all up, and so you've got much better sight lines, and when you come across the bridge now, you can see that restaurant on the right. And so once it opens, it'll be much better be more customer friendly and easier to see, and the business owner was very happy with that, the work that was done, and VDOT did that really quickly for us. It was great. Cunningham Creek Winery was held on the 20th of July. They've got a beautiful facility out there at the new winery, and it's our second winery in Fluvanna County, so we're pleased to be there for that ribbon cutting grand opening. And if you haven't been out there, it is really a pretty facility. It's the one at Thistlegate is really nice too. This one's just a different style, but we've got two really great wineries now.
Is the entrance off of Branch or off of
off Rotan?
Rotan.
Yeah. Before you get to Branch, right, there's a new road right to the left, a gravel road, and
where the old farm road there was. They just
right. Yeah, it's all graveled in now. But the building is down below the vineyards there. It's beautiful. So
it's nice. Not about 300 acres there between
yes,
two,
right.
200 and 300 acres there.
Yeah, 300. I think they bought 300 or 306 or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
In
it. They've
I'm
got their
familiar
home there, and
that.
They've got the,
yeah,
you know, their vineyards and the new facility. So, Jason Smith has been working with three other counties, with Greene County, Orange County, and Louisa County, to do a four county business summit. So the Quad County Business Summit is coming October 5th. It'll be a half day event up at in Orange. This first annual one will be in Orange, and it's in concert with economic development offices and the Downtown Alliance in Orange and Virginia Small Business Development Center and the Orange Chamber of Commerce to have this event so that businesses can learn about, you know, all different types of ways to collaborate, to expand, to get support from the local area. And it'll be a free event with breakfast and lunch provided to all the business reps and local leaders. So we'll get more information to you on this, but if you're interested, just mark it on your calendar. And as we get closer, there will be more announcements coming out. But October 5th in Orange. And then I want to ask about this. There's a local area resident that has been working with, because of the water project, some easement acquisitions and stuff, wanting to be able to look at the easements in the existing areas, especially along the Colonial Pipeline and the Dominion easements and the CBEC easements, you know, the big wide 100-foot easements, that we could do something a little better or different with the land as it sits there fallow. Maybe it can be made into better quail habitat or made into better local Virginia native vegetation and native flowers. And so we met with the citizen, Ms. Nolte, Lindsay Nolte, and with Community and Education, Economic Development, and somebody else. Who else was there, Jason? I don't. Anyway, with a number of people, maybe the cooperative extension. What we're trying to do, based on the citizens' request, is get interested citizens from anywhere in the county, but especially along easements that have pipelines or electric easements or gas line easements, things like that, in them to be understand what is possible and what the companies can do to help revegetate areas, but in a more natural way that better suits our environment. So we'd like to coordinate a kind of a community meeting either at the library or the community center in Fork Union and get some information out about that. And on your table there, that one, the sheet that says wanted is kind of a description or an outline of what Ms. Nolte thought that might be good discussion topics and desired outcomes of a meeting like this. So if the board concurs, we'll go ahead with planning. This it's not a cost event. This is really just helping set this up and get the companies there, and then citizens and cooperative extension and master gardeners. There's a lot of ways to talk about using land better without much cost to anyone, but many people don't even know the alternatives and options.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, Ms. Nolting was successful. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Ms. Nolting was also successful in working with the contractors trying to procure easements for her on her land, in getting them to agree to certain things so that it can be revegetated in a certain way and some types of native plants and things like that, and wants to potentially spread that idea around the county. So.
No, I was just going to say, on right-of-ways, I always thought they kept them mowed off pretty well, and I'm wondering how that would interfere with some of this vegetation and all.
The gas line keeps theirs mowed. Right now, when you have the electric company easements, they come through and just spray. I'm not sure what they spray, but they kill everything within their easement. That's, I mean, if you ride around right now, you'll see it. With the water line, I'm imagining they're going to have to bush hog that.
Yeah, you would think so, but there are ways to do this that apparently are not too terribly problematic, that would not interfere with the overflights from the gas line companies and things like that that they do. So I think it's at least worthwhile in just helping co-sponsor a community meeting and let people get together and see if we can get representatives of those agencies or organizations. If it comes to nothing, then it does, but it seems this is not a big request for money or for the county to do something. We just kind of facilitated a meeting, would facilitate a meeting.
Absolutely, it can't hurt to have a meeting about it. But
I would think so.
Have you talked to any of the pipeline owners?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Ms. Nolting is one of them. She's talked to others, and I've talked to others and stuff, too.
I meant the people who are...
Oh, yes. She's talked to... I have not contacted them. She's already spoken. She has two contacts at both Colonial and at CBEC, and she's already coordinated with them and talked to them, and as well as the contractors doing the Louisa County Water Authority pipeline along that route. And so there are some agreement that there are things that could be done, but the way to start that is to have a discussion with the community members that may be interested. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, there are clearly some restrictions. I'm not real thrilled when they come in and just start spraying everything and kill everything because they...
Trust me.
I know.
So, I mean, living 200 feet sure. from it.
Yep. But anyway, so there may be some other better way to do business, and I don't think it hurts to talk about it, but that would be the proposal if you all...
didn't hurt to talk about it.
Okay, so we'll proceed. And then I think you saw the email that came in through My Two Cents about leash and barking laws. You know, it's obviously come up before. This lady was specifically talking about, can we potentially look at having better... ordinances or regulations for particularly dense areas like, you know, Lake Monticello already has a little bit of oversight there, but Sycamore Square across from it is pretty built out and has a lot of close density. And we all know that if the neighbor's dog is barking for 6 hours straight, it gets pretty annoying. But when your neighbor is 2 miles away, it's not quite as much of a problem. But this came to no... didn't come to fruition and nothing changed the last time it was discussed or talked about by the board.
Well, but we brought in animal control and mm-hmm. things of that nature to speak.
Yeah, I mean, enforcement is an issue, but...
I'm not even referring to enforcement. Didn't we talk to other counties about their mm-hmm. issues that they
had? Yeah, I did a whole bunch of briefings, and Fred's office right. reviewed options, and planning looked at a variety of alternatives.
Could they bring charges themselves?
They could bring civil suit, yeah.
Uh-huh. I would think that would be the only real alternative at this point. The board has sort of looked at that in the past, and we've moved on.
That's always an option for them, uh-huh. unless the board changes its position that it right. adopted
I would
a couple
think
months that. Ago. That's probably the best option. Of course, one of the best options would be walk over next door and say, your dog is bothering me, can you take care of that?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And then you do that and they completely ignore you.
They're out of town.
I believe so.
Okay. Well, I'm saying that
right,
sort
right.
of in a generic right. sense. Yeah.
So, status quo. And I'll respond back to the lady and let her know what's been done so far, but also that she can consult an attorney.
Right. I think so. Mm-hmm.
For Mr. Weaver's benefit, year-to-date collections are $336 on the EMS cost recovery program. Everybody's benefit, Bill Cobb, uh-huh. but $336. We've still got another month of collections. We're coming close to that.
But through the end of this month. Cents.
So we'll likely be at 350 or more, and the budget estimate was
250.
This year's budget estimate is 400, and so with a full year of collections, we certainly should reach that 400 target.
Okay.
but...
Okay, now, this fiscal year, what was it you budgeted for that?
$400.
But there's something in here that's for more than that, it would figure out in this packet here. The monthly bill, I'm trying to remember what it was.
$300.
Yeah, and it would run over that figure if it averages out that much. You're shaking your head. You know what I'm saying, don't you?
Are you talking about what we project on receivable from ELS cost?
No, it was a figure in there about supplies. Refurbishing the ambulance service would be from $300 to $400 a month.
Yeah, what I think you're referring to is the ambulance restocking agreement. And we brought that to you back in January, and UVA changed it up. We have two hospitals that we deal with, UVA and Martha Jeff. Martha Jeff refills the drug boxes as a public service. UVA charges the individuals for the drugs used in there. So essentially, rather than charging, having a double bill there, the county will pick up those refill of those drug boxes. And that's normally about $300 to $400 a month. If it's more than that, then I will hunt them down. with it, but that's what that arrangement is, and it's partly because we don't bill individually, we bill a flat fee. So if you have an ALS transport, it's an X fee. It doesn't list out what drugs were used in that.
Seemed to me I saw a bill in here for something like $46,000 on the EMS. And 512s or 60, that would have been $600,000 for a year.
That's the contract crew.
Yes.
They're running 45.
And then what did you say we had projected for that?
The contract crew is projected at 600. They've actually been just a little bit below.
Okay, that's where I am.
The two ambulance crews, the one daytime and nighttime, 24/7, 365.
Right.
The contract is, I think we thought about 608, it was going to be a one time.
Yes.
But it ended up being right at 600 or just slightly below. That's just paying the contract crews. The EMS cost recovery program,
I know,
we budgeted $400 for next year's revenue, but we, based on this year's performance, we clearly should meet that.
And exceed.
Yeah.
Because we're running about 50, 55, 60,000 a month in collections.
So we should hopefully be 600,000, which should hopefully be a wash.
Right, sure.
Now, as far as maintenance and fuel, are we covering the bill on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because that's part
of
the budget.
They use our vehicles.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, are we doing it? Is Fluvanna Rescue doing it? Who's covering the bill?
Well, it's under Fluvanna Rescue's license, and we fund
Fluvanna
Rescue.
And we're going to go back and fund them? Right.
We already do.
Right.
I understand that, but I just wanted to... So we're going to use the money from there, but we're going to replenish that in their funding, with our funding.
No.
The funding that we give them.
Yes, right. Yeah, it's paid for out of the funding we already give to Fluvanna Rescue. Yeah, it's not taken away from the rest of Fluvanna Rescue options. It's enough to cover that and then their regular operations.
Just was checking.
Okay.
And then one other thing, the Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development and Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission have been working on the Go Virginia program and the plan. The legislature actually put some money against it this year. Once they come out with the rules of the program, they'll decide what the regions and things are. But there's a draft resolution, I'll pull up on the screen here, a draft resolution that has been sent out to all the counties that may be participating, a resolution of support for the Go Virginia program. And so, let me blow this up just a little bit. So in this case, essentially what this says is that we, you know, support the program. It's the state's already funded. It's already out there. And in our case, that the bottom paragraph would say, Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors supports the Go Virginia initiative to strengthen Virginia's economy in each region. And in the event of the planning districts 9 and 10 are combined to serve as one of the defined regions for implementation of Go Virginia, the county supports the Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development as the lead organization for Go Virginia in our region. Well, that's been talked about and vetted between the two organizations, TJPDC and CDPED, for a number of months, and we've had a work group in place for that under those auspices. This is not anything mandatory. It's just CDPED is sending this to all the partner organizations that participate. But if we want to send something to the legislature saying that yes, we agree with that or we support that, then the county can. So, I mean, it's not anything binding. This is the original discussion was Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission or Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development. Who would take the lead in the administrative lead? Both organizations will work on the project for our region, but there has to be a belly button under the new program from the state. They haven't decided the regions yet, but if it is planning districts 9 and 10, then this is what the work group had recommended and CVPED approved, and I haven't seen the TJPDC, but Chip Boyles, their executive director, is certainly on board with the same discussion. So is the board interested in sending a resolution? If so, I'll put it on your August 17th agenda, and you can take a vote on it then, and then if it gets approved, we just send it off to the state.
Who's in District 9?
Rappahannock District, the let's see.
Madison, Rappahannock?
Yeah, Madison, Rappahannock, Culpeper. Culpeper's in part of our region for some things, but not for others. The group that's north and northeast of us, mm-hmm. above, and Orange as well, because Orange is not in, no, Orange is in CVPED, but they're not in Planning District 10 like we are. They're in Planning mm-hmm. District 9.
Okay.
That's part of the problem is the partnership, economic development partnerships, and the planning districts, and the health districts, and a variety of other state organizational structures don't cover the same territory, which mm-hmm. makes it really hard because you work with this group of counties on planning district and you work with a different group of counties on the Partnership for Economic Development and a different group with the health district. And I'm sure there's historical reasons why it's that way, but I wish it wasn't. I wish it was.
Who is the president of Virginia Partnership in Economic Development since you served 1 year, right?
Yeah, I was the chair.
I mean, yes, yeah. What I mean, chair. Right.
The new chair is Dave Davies. He's Davies. From Williams Mullen, a lawyer with Williams Mullen. He was my vice chair.
Okay.
The partnership always alternates every year from a public sector chair and a private sector mm-hmm. Vice chair. The following year, the vice mm-hmm. chair is there, and then another public sector. So this coming year, Green County. John Barkley from the county minister in Green County is the new vice chair, mm-hmm. and then so Mr. Davies will be the president of the chair this year, and then next year John Barkley from Green will be the chair. It just alternates every other year.
Okay.
I'm still on the executive committee and will be for we go 3 or 4 year terms on the executive mm-hmm. committee. After that, we'll just be board members, but it just rotates. So I'll put that on your August 17th agenda. And then just a reminder, you've got board meetings coming up in August, again this August and September, and the August 17th one, you talked about that work session. We've got a guest speaker, that Dr. Groover, coming in to talk about land use. I still got two other folks I'm trying to get a hold of that know forestal and ag well. One of the people I've already contacted is out of town, but he recommended someone else. So you'll have some subject matter experts here that night, along with the commissioner and any staff support you need to wrap up your discussions and figure out where you're at. But that's and then we can talk about any of the other revenue items if there's time that evening too, of that long list of revenue things we've talked about over the last couple of months. And then your regular meeting that night at 7, and then back to regular schedule the 7th and 21st in September. So any questions I can answer for the board?
The 17th, we have a work session at 4?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. 4 p.m. work session and regular meeting at 7.
Alrighty, now we'll hear updates from each supervisor regarding any meetings that were attended. Ms. Boker?
Okay, we have new mics.
I noticed that.
Yes.
I noticed how well we're going just now when Ms. Beager reached out and adjusted it.
Will they pick up when I start crunching my proximus?
They probably will, but they'll pick up your voice a lot better too for the people in the audience and for the recordings, which is what we were trying to do. We may still do some adjustments on placement and things like that, but anytime if you don't talk very loudly and you're going to be kind of making a statement or something, just slide turn the mic towards you. They bend and are flexible.
Okay.
But we're hoping to pick up on the recordings better.
All right. On Wednesday, July the 20th, I attended Fluvanna County Extension Leadership Council. And I think the interest would be, of course, for the board is we met in the Lugan County Community Center, and we have a drawing of the commercial kitchen, and it is really getting there quickly. So we talk about that. And the other thing I think of interest is the fact that we talked about the county fair that's coming up August the 18th through the 20th. We talked about their training for cooking for crowds, and I think most churches send people for that. Let's see, we're thinking about having a poverty stimulation activity. It's kind of like what the students do at the high school when they go around the gym and they give them an occupation amount of money and they have to go around and get their babysitter and have to pay taxes. It's called Realistic Store. This one is to show teachers, adults, and whoever to understand what poverty feels like. I've never had one. I think Louisa has had a couple of them. So I'm hoping we're going to have one like that in the county. I also attended Mayors and Chairs because Mr. Sheridan was on vacation. And that was a very interesting meeting. And Eric Dahl was there. So Eric, you may have something different to talk about, but we did. And then Mayor of Scottsville was there. And they're trying to have the townships to come to at least one meeting so that they can understand what is being done in the legislative forum. They'd like to have those individuals there as well. And one of the interns did a presentation on better block model for streetscape design. Now, we know we have a streetscape in Fork Union that's partially done. I think there's discussion about one in Palmyra. This is our county seat. We definitely need to improve as we come down that hill by the post office how it looks. It's beautiful over in here. But out there, we need to make sure we spruce that up as well. And I think that's getting the conversation starting. So we talked about that. We talked about Route 29's update. And we brought up proffers. And hopefully PDC will get supervisors and individuals together as they learn more about proffers, and we can have a discussion. I think it's still up in the air. They don't know exactly how to move or even have a discussion on it, because I don't think the General Assembly really knows very much about what they are doing. What else? Did I miss something? What else, Harry? Oh, they talked about a hub social services. They said they thought right in Scottsville, in the Scottsville area, they could have a hub social service building or a building that could take care of the needs of the citizens who may not come over to Palmyra or even go into Buckingham, somewhere that's centrally located so that people can get their services at a more or less distance to go. And I heard someone else talking about the same kind of activity recently. So that's kind of something that may occur. Now, all these things, of course, are not coming anytime soon. And I guess that's it. Oh, Vaco. Yes. Oh, no, that's it for Mayors and Chairs. Eric and Jason Stewart and I went to the library on Friday, and we made a presentation to the supervisors who are taking Mike Chandler's class. This is probably about the third or fourth time that Fluvanna has presented. I hope Mike leave us alone for a while. But anyway, I tell you, they loved our strategies and initiatives and the way we do our budget and all. People were just And our comprehensive plan, Jason did a wonderful job, Stuart, of presenting the comprehensive plan. He bought 4 books, and they were snatching them, and they were giving him their address. They love the way it's laid out. 100-some pages. They love the way we say, how does this area look now? And then, I mean, what's the condition of it now? And this is our vision of where we want it to be. So I think we left there feeling pretty good, didn't we? Didn't we, Jason?
The supervisors liked the compliment.
Yes, it was very good. So I was real proud of Fluvanna County. And I tried to explain why Fluvanna is a good place to live, learn, work, and play. Try to tell them all about that. You know, we play in a whole job. I just really built us up, but I wasn't telling anything that wasn't true. Okay. And let's see, Fluvanna Extension, Leadership Council. Oh, and I went to Fluvanna County Housing meeting. Mr. Dan Burke brings to us every meeting, every thing that he has done in Fluvanna County. We have people getting not only the ramps, they're getting their house repaired, they're getting septic systems, and we give them $16,000 a year from our budget. And I know one report he had done about $46,000 worth of work here. Now they get grants, and I think Evergreen has done a good job of our building our funds up, because we build houses, we sell houses, we bring that money back in, we put people in houses and they rent, and then eventually they buy. So we've been able to keep money coming into the housing. But they really do an excellent job for our community. And we have individuals in the community that they're asking them, find out what people need. We can give you the materials if you get somebody to do the work. So Habitat for Humanities and Fluvanna and Louisa Housing are the only two organizations that really provide affordable houses for Fluvanna. And I know we've been supporting them, and I hope that we will continue to support them. Okay? I think I am. Oh, and then I went to the community management with Jason and took some surveys to church on Sunday and did a few of those, talked about it, wanting people to be aware of what we want to do with Columbia and Cunningham. And they had put together, Piedmont put this together. They have identified every affordable housing in the area, Louisa, Charlottesville, and et cetera. And of course, we don't have any. So that was interesting as well.
And there's been over 300 survey responses,
right. Yeah.
That we'll be working with the state, mm-hmm. as we submit that back, yeah. for the grant requirement.
Right.
What's the definition of affordable housing?
It's it's a certain amount of being under the poverty level. I think it's 30%.
Not to exceed 30%.
Not to exceed 30%. And affordable housing in Fluvanna a long time ago was like $150,000 when they did the, I don't know how they calculated that. I thought it was. Maybe I missed, I don't know, maybe it isn't. But that's how it was calculated. Oh, and I went to National Day, was that it, Trish? Yesterday, you and I were there.
National Night Out.
Yeah, National Night Out. Did you see the eating the donuts?
I did.
Who won? Won the policeman?
No, the firefighter.
Oh, the firefighter. They're not known for donuts.
I think he won with eating 8.
We can eat.
I know. Huh?
8.
I think he ate 8 donuts.
8.
Okay. 8?
Okay. Yeah. It was really warm out there, but...
It doesn't sound like too many.
In 2 minutes.
Had 3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Two big, eight big...
No kidding.
Oh, wow.
Like not Krispy Kreme, but Dunkin' Donuts glazed.
Just thinking I could eat eight Krispy Kreme.
I don't think they had a lot of kids.
There you go.
They had the obstacle course set up for the kids. Did they, any kids come on bicycles? And that's kind of hard to get the bicycles out.
That was after COVID.
Oh, it was? Did you have some kids? Oh, I missed that. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Weaver?
Yeah. Last month I went to the jail board, and they were having problems going into closed meetings. So I got with Kelly Harris. She gave me a copy of how to get in and out, and I took it over to the meeting that evening. They used it that meeting, so it was very effective. Talking about the budget, if my memory serves me right, we're the second lowest budget figure of all the other counties. So that is evidently, that means we have less crime, and I'll assume that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I guess that was it. Personnel evaluations, we're in the process of doing that. There was no way to evaluate personnel. And we're coming up with a process, and we already have that here in Fluvanna County, so it's a feather in our cap.
They don't evaluate personnel.
Huh?
They're going to.
Have a system.
Yeah. Wow. I'm glad they're doing it.
Ms. Eager?
I attended the social services board meeting, the planning commission meeting, and the night of eating donuts.
How did I miss that eating donuts?
You really cut left out.
Well, as you can tell, I was going on vacation the whole time, so Ms. Booker did a great job of covering me up here.
Tell us about your vacation.
Well, it's really bad when I travel all the way to South Florida, and it's cooler down there than it was up here.
Oh.
Every time I looked at my radar or my telephone app for the weather, we'd be 3 degrees cooler down there.
And no, it's really been up here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I did do something else this month. And, we had cousin camp at our farm.
Oh.
And my 10 grandchildren all came.
Oh, wow.
And so I fed 20 people for 10 days, 3 meals a day, and they had a blast.
I bet they were.
Yeah. 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 Children ranged
in part, she fed them on Fluvanna County venison.
Yeah.
They range in age from 3 months to, 10 months to 13.
Wow.
That is awesome.
I knew you had fun.
I thought about this the other day. I want to take time just to thank you and your husband. They live on a dead-end road, and anybody that's ever had a school bus turn around in their driveway, a lot of times school buses aren't the best. It's really difficult to hit a narrow driveway for a vehicle with a school bus, and they have never said a word. And kids always enjoy seeing the goats running all over the place. I just wanted to make sure I said thank you.
You're welcome.
But now, earlier last month, we did have a finance board meeting. We got together and we made some decisions as a group that will allow us to make better use of our finances and being more flexible in our ability to be able to shift money around to find the best option to get to our best
return.
What major change have we made, do you recall, in that?
We gave Mr. Garcia and Ms. Lindher the opportunity that they can now get together and move money to whatever is best suited. So, and we were looking at short-term type deals where we can move money for 60 to 90 days. Or Mr. Dahl, tell me if I speak up wrongly, but I can't remember exactly what it was called. I didn't bring my paperwork. But he can tell you a lot better. He's a money guy. But we can now make that decision and do that without us having to wait until we have a meeting.
Yeah, Mr. Garcia and Ms. Lennon, they're going to kind of work on a tiered approach for investing. So pretty much when, they can put different money in different investment strategies, money markets, CDs, things of that nature. So when something comes due or when we maybe feel that we've got certain expenditures getting ready to hit the general fund certain times of the year, then we can transfer that money out of a higher interest rate account back into the general fund to be able to cover those expenditures. It's just a better way of kind of it's more of a hands-on approach investment strategy and not just having all the funds sit in the general fund, but it's, you know, throughout the year, you know, the county has, you know, higher times where we've got money in the general fund, especially during tax time. So it's just a better way to gain more interest those times of the year.
So you're saying that you have a stair step, maybe, their design, so you know when different amounts are due, and you can put it in short term or long term.
Correct.
And instead of just leaving it in a savings account,
no point in putting minuscule leaving it all there.
Right.
And maybe if there's some type of a funds that we know are not going to be needed for, you know, say, you know, over 6 months or something like that, you know, we can definitely utilize some higher interest rates that are available out there for putting money away.
What was the amount we said we're going to set back?
Oh, that was about $7 million, I think, total we were going to have in different investments.
Well, yeah, but that's in, I don't know what the amount is, but there's the funds in the VIP right now. But I think she was talking about taking in, I think it was $1.5 million out of the general fund, and then kind of slowly start with baby steps to kind of, you know, work with Mr. Garcia on that investment strategy, to the kind of tiered investment strategy.
There's a new service that we'll be able to use called eConnect Direct that lists all types of municipal options and alternatives for investing funds, in from, you know, a 30-day CD all up through long-term investments, and that will help because it's an ongoing live-tracked set of a tool, so that you can know where best
pull
it is
up
to
and
put.
See right, what's where and what's wrong.
Indeed, yeah. But to match our cash needs, so that we're not cash short when needed, but also to maximize investment dollars. I think what was it, a little over $50,000 in earnings last year. We were just over $50,000, I think.
Yeah, 56 or something. Again.
Yeah.
But it seems to me in years back, and now I'm going back 10 years when interest rates were 6 and 8, 10%. Seems to me that we had budgeted someplace in the neighborhood of maybe like $300,000.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Yeah, but for the last,
yeah, I know, yeah,
the last 7 years or 8 years, we've been earning $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah,
but now we're, you know, we're
very
going
good
back up, and we'll be, you know, as even if interest rates stay where they are now with this new investment strategy, we'll be in the $50,000 to $100,000 range every year if it stayed just flat like it is. So, which is a lot better.
At what point will we get a report that's in writing that we can see? And should it be twice a year, or is it a certain time?
Or every quarter, maybe once a quarter, or every 2 months?
Quarterly.
So can we request maybe a quarterly report again?
I think it's part of your strategic initiative.
Is it?
It is? Well,
I thought it was.
It is.
We're working with Mrs. Leonard's office to try to get that. I know she's got a meeting set up in Nelson County next week. I believe she's going down there to talk to them about their credit card processing. And she's also, I think, been looking for reporting alternatives that the board had asked about.
And if I remember correctly, I think Nelson County too, don't they also utilize eConnect Direct mm-hmm. also for their investment strategy?
Yeah.
Also.
Sounds very good.
Good.
Lots of progress.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Alrighty. We will now open our first round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time?
I'm Perry Johnson. I live at 5039 James Madison Highway. And I just want to offer a resource that you may already have on the Rosenwald schools. Karen Lindermuth did her master's thesis a few years ago on our county's Rosenwald schools.
She has that report.
Great. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm sitting down.
Yeah, we have it. Thank you,
Ms. Johnson. Anyone else? I will now close the first round of public comments. There are no public hearings. We'll now go to action matters. Now we'll move to action matters at tab P, ambulance restocking agreement and for cost recovery revised. Ms. Elliott.
Hi. This restocking agreement you saw back in January, and UVA came back with a number of changes in the document itself that we worked with the attorneys. Essentially, this, as I described a little bit earlier, essentially with doing billing for ambulances, the UVA charges, usually passes on the cost of the in the drug boxes to the patients. Martha Jefferson refills those for the rescue squads as a public service. So instead of having them bill, or when we started billing, UVA would then bill the rescue squads. So rather than having them bill the rescue squads, because the rescue squads aren't getting the money, we asked for it to be billed directly to the county. And it'll be about $300 to $400 a month, if that. And if it is more than that, then that will be tracked down to see why it's more on that. But this just makes it a little easier because we do not track individual medicines that are given out of the drug boxes per patient. It's billed on a flat fee with that. So it just makes more sense just for the county to take care of that than to have to try to figure out where does that fall. Any questions?
Does the patient have the choice as to which hospital they're taken to?
Yes. It depends. A part of it depends whether it's what kind of an incident it is too. UVA is better suited for certain kinds of things than Martha Jeff, but the patient does have a choice.
Once in a while, the hospitals may be full, and then they'll just put them on defer.
They divert.
Right. And if it's trauma, I mean, you're going to go to UVA.
Any other questions?
I also noticed that in the addendum, it says, therefore, for good and valuable consideration, and yet there's no money involved.
That's a formality. The law is that in order to have a valid contract, you have to have consideration by both sides. So you wash my truck and I give you $2 because I'm cheap. That's consideration on both sides. Mm-hmm. And that's a recitation that there is consideration.
That they thought about it.
Yes.
Okay. See, there is a reason for lawyers. They know stuff.
Anyone else? Okay. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Oh, I'm turned around. Mm-hmm. I went to action matters. I'm sorry. I'm reading on the wrong side. Please forgive me. Motion. Do we have a motion?
All right. I move the Board of Supervisors approve the ambulance restocking agreement between the rector and visitors of the University of Virginia on behalf of its medical center and the county of Savannah, documenting the relationship among the medical center, the rescue squads, and the county with regard to restocking of ambulance pharmaceutical and medical supplies, and further authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as to form by the county attorney.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Mrs. Booker and seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0. One missing. Next, we'll go to Q. E-91 radio project management addendum, Black and Veatch. Ms. Elliott.
Black and Veatch, as you will recall, is our consultant helping us keep everybody in line for the radio project. And you had one of these addendums come before you with the first change order that we did. This one just covers the change orders 2, 3, and 4. It essentially says that with those change orders, there's no change to the agreement that we have with Black and Veatch, and they're at no cost. So they're already overseeing the site that will be Columbia School. There's no need for any additional cost. That's just this paperwork is just recognizing that on both sides.
All right. Are there any questions from the board? Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the second addendum to agreement for emergency communication radio system project management and system implementation support services with Black and Veatch, with zero price adjustment for this modification, and authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as to the form by the county attorney.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Mrs. Eager and seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 4-0.
Thank you.
Last one is R, Ground Survey Services for Zions Crossroad Water and Sewer System. Ms. Toler?
Okay, great. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
We are looking at the ground survey for Zion Crossroads Water and Sewer Design. Project fundings to date, you guys have already approved cash funding for $575,000. The preliminary engineering report from RK&K was $46,000. The preliminary design task orders 1 through 8 done by Dewberry was $430,695. The aerial survey, which Bowman has already completed, was $34,560. This ground survey, the proposal is for $92,000. That does leave us with a $28,255 cash funding shortage. We are asking for $30,000 supplemental appropriation from the fund balance in order to complete this task. This will increase the cash funding of the budget to $605,000 and will complete up to the 65% preliminary design for the Zion Crossroads Water Project. Once the staff is satisfied with the 65% preliminary design, there will be another task brought before you guys to complete the design, get a final design. But that will come at a later date. We're thinking probably about 2 months. Any questions?
So we're going to have to spend another $30,000 that we hadn't planned on?
Well, You've approved the cash. You've also approved some funding to borrow, which we have not dipped into yet, and we really don't want to until we're ready to fund the entire project and know what we're looking at.
Yeah, well, you said the budget's $575,000 going
up now. Cash funded budget. What you funded.
But this is additional money that we hadn't planned on.
No, sir.
It's not.
It is not.
We had planned on this.
No, this is planned money. It's just the board had set aside originally $575,000
in cash.
Now, whether the board decides to fund the whole project cash or take out debt for the remaining project in cash, this component was a component of you going forward with the project. It's just the board only funded up to a certain point cash funding.
So the total is still the same.
The total
budget is right, but the cash is different.
It's right. $575 is what 3 years ago you put aside $575.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's been used. That was never going to be just the right amount. We didn't know exactly.
But that was a projection.
That was an estimate. All the rest of the project costs, including design and then construction and everything else, was intended to be originally debt service finance. Now, you could still do it out of cash or debt service. So we've given you those options during budget season, and you'll see those coming forth again. But in this case, all you're doing is paying for the project incrementally and still continue to do it out of cash because you haven't taken on any debt or you haven't obligated to go forward to finish the project. This is design phase. And so we're not asking for any more money than was ever planned for the project. We're just asking for more cash up front instead of debt service.
And so the original plan was to hopefully fund this project up to the final design with cash funding, and we will be coming back for probably something additional to do the final design for the project. But once we get to the final design, and then once the board sees the final design, then you'll be able to decide if you want to take out debt for the rest of the project
or go forward
with the project or cash fund the project or whatever it is. But like I said, this was just a request. It's not really requesting additional budget. It's not like it was unexpected. This was expected. It's just to cash fund it.
Yeah. You only set aside $575. The rest of it was just debt. So let's say $5 million.
You still had the same amount, basically. Right.
It's just, yes. It's just
total hadn't gone up any. We're just paying it up.
We just ran out of the cash that was up front.
Like I said, you know, once the further that they get down the road with design, they're really kind of like, you know, bringing in their estimates and their numbers a lot closer to.
Any other questions? All right, do we have a motion?
There are two motions?
Yeah, there are two motions. One for the supplemental appropriation for the $30,000 to cash fund it, and then the second is to sign the task order to have the ground surveying done.
Do we do both at one time?
No, ma'am. Two separate ones.
Okay. I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation of $30,000 from uncommitted fund balance to the Zions Crossroad Water and Sewer System project budget with the funds necessary to complete the 65% preliminary design phase of the project.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Mrs. Booker and seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. 4-0.
Okay, I move the Board of Supervisors to approve task order number 3 between Fluvanna County and Bowman Consulting Group LTD to complete the ground surveying services for the Zions Crossroad Water and Sewer System totaling $92,000, and further authorize the County Administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as to form by the County Attorney.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. 4-0.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Presentations. We'll now move to presentations tab S, Crofton Park Master Plan Proposal.
And I'll be doing this with Mr. Spitzer's on vacation, but I'll cover it, and I'll ask Mr. Moss to come forward too because he can contribute to this.
I saw him moving this way. I was sitting there going, is it in the public?
So the Historical Society and the, not the Historical Society, Heritage Trail Foundation has come forward with a proposal to do a preliminary trail map design and layout for the Crofton Park area. So if you see on the screen there, their board has agreed to spend about $5,400 with LPDA, Land Planning and Design Associates, a design firm we've worked with before, to create this body of work about the potential design for that plan. Now, this doesn't cost the county anything, but it does allow, you would be allowing Heritage Trail Foundation to hire that contractor, get this design done, and allowing that contractor to have access to the Crofton Park area. And the rest of it, the discussion about this, I'll have Mr. Moss talk about that, and then ideas or some things on the end about the landmarks that may be there and expenses may be involved. So, Mr. Moss.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm here as president of the Heritage Trail Foundation. The board voted at its July meeting to spend $5,360 to fund a master plan for the property that you all own. They passed the authorization for that funding contingent upon your approving us to proceed with it. After all, this is the county land. It's not the Heritage Trail or the Historical Society's land. The master plan will, I think most of you have seen a copy of the LPDA and the deliverables that would be paid for out of the $5,360. The idea is that we would be producing at no cost to Fluvanna County a roadmap for the development of a really first-rate public park on land owned by Fluvanna County. And as you well know, located within a spitting distance of 43% of the county's population, which lives at Lake Monticello. This master plan would obligate you to do nothing, but it would be a great asset for the Heritage Trail to raise money from private foundations for this project. I can just tell you that absent a master plan, no foundation is going to give money for a project of this scope and nature. So I cannot pledge to you that we would be able to fully fund whatever the master plan in the end decides to do. The master plan is only a roadmap. You all would have to approve whatever action we take in implementing the master plan. It's not up to the Heritage Trail Foundation to do this. This is a wonderful opportunity because the property contains three very important historic elements. Two of the historic locks, which LMOA, to their great credit, put on the National Register of Historic Places years ago, and the ruins of Barnardsburg, one of the oldest and earliest settlements in all of Flavanna County along the Rivanna River. So those elements would be included in the plan for trails and for historic interpretation and things of that nature. I also wanted to bring to your attention the very strong interest of other groups in this. The Virginia Canals and Navigation Society, which has been very active in preserving the canal along the Rivanna, wants to conduct a lock clearing project at the Crofton Lock, which is the lock closest to the Crofton Bridge, on November 5th and 6th. This would include improving the existing trail and the towpath for better access. The lock is in perfect condition, and the removal of the growth from the lock will help ensure that it stays that way into the future. They, of course, will need permission from Flavanna County to do this, and I will be in touch with county staff to, putting the Virginia Canals and Navigation Society in touch with appropriate staff so they can coordinate that. So I encourage you to give your nod to this and let us proceed. The master plan would be developed only with input from the county staff and you supervisors, as well as the public, the LMOA, and the Historical Society and the Heritage Trail Boards. So it's going to be a collaborative effort. It's not just an effort on the part of the Heritage Trail Foundation. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Does anyone have a question?
What do you project the funding is going to be? You say that you can't guarantee that you'll have all the funding. What else do you think that involves besides you?
Well, the master plan will tell us that. Okay. Master plan, if you look at the deliverables on the last page, one of the deliverables is an estimate of the cost of whatever improvements are decided there. One of the problems with this property is access, vehicular access, because the logical places where you would have vehicular access to this property are on seriously dangerous curves in the road. So one of the things the master plan would have to do is to figure out how do we get people safely in and out of this property. But Mr. Weaver, there's no way of estimating that now because we don't even know what the scope of the project is going to be.
Okay. And in the last page, the document, in fact, not the briefing, but the document itself, the second to last page talks about the tasks that we've delivered, and so we'll have a much better idea once that comes in.
It says final opinion of cost estimate will be part of the master plan.
How large is this property? It's long and narrow, right?
Right. The slide.
Somewhere I saw.
The slide shows you. Gives you the red there is is the property, and as you can see, it's long. Now, mm-hmm. That's the Crofton
that's
Bridge
the
right there.
Right there. Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
The bridge. So it's on both sides of the Crofton Bridge. It's on the northwest side and on the southeast side. All of the historical properties, assets on this property are in the part that is south of the Crofton Bridge.
Okay.
There are none upstream from there.
Right. Now, is this a flood area? Can the water come out over there?
Well, the upper lock closest to the Crofton Bridge is out of the floodplain.
Okay.
The lower lock gets inundated frequently and is pretty much filled in with silt at the present time. You can just see the top of the lock.
Okay. So we're not talking about
and the ruins of Barnardsburg are well above the floodplain.
I mean, there's quite a few hills, but everything that's low is in floodplain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The master plan would take into consideration the floodplain mm-hmm. because there is an existing trail there, and it's still in pretty good shape considering the fact that parts of it are in the floodplain.
Right. Could you show me how that will connect to Pleasant Grove? Is that some kind of trail?
There are five or six properties, including Broken Island, that are between this property and Pleasant Grove.
Yes.
So it would be great if we could...
I'm trying to visualize.
Yeah, it would be great if we could connect those trails, if at all possible. But Broken Island, as you know, has a... They have a beautiful trail system on their property, but Broken Island is a homeowners association like LMOA, and we have never approached them about having public access to, and there are two locks on their property as well. I don't know how they would react to our coming to them and saying, would it be possible for us to extend the trail into your property?
Mm-hmm. We'll send the sheriff to talk.
So what would we, what are we visualizing to be in the park for picnics, fishing? I mean, or is it just some walking? How will it attract people?
When we met with the Parks and Recreation people and the Heritage Trail Board, the concept really is quite simple. Mm-hmm. It would be essentially a trail system with historical markers, okay, and interpretation. Any toilet facilities or anything would be in the access area and not along the trails. Mm-hmm. I think the whole idea is to... Recently, LMOA appointed an ad hoc committee to explore the possibility of establishing trails at the lake, and they very quickly threw up their hands and gave up, mm-hmm, because of the very physical nature of Lake Monticello, other than the golf course and a few other areas, there are very few places that you can have trails. Mm-hmm. So having given up on that, I think LMOA would be very actively in support of a trail system that is right next door to their property, and in fact was their property for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Is that the back of just the Crofton section right there on that northwest part? The northwest, go up.
Oh, up here?
There.
Is that just the Crofton section right there, or is that the Crofton, the Cherokee section is further up? The
Cherokee's up farther.
Yeah, up, okay. Up farther, I think, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And along that area, there are very steep bluffs between the river and the development.
And like all projects, I think this is a great project, a great addition to our inventory. I always worry about the downstream costs, the maintenance, the roads, the mm-hmm, emptying trash, emptying porter johns. So just keep that in mind. But right, it would be nice to know, the study will tell us, it would be nice to know what it would take to develop this property that we already own. So I think that makes sense.
And we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm. Will the plan give us a maintenance cost as well?
Pardon me, I can't hear.
Does the plan include a maintenance cost estimate?
I don't think it does because, it may include some maintenance costs, yes.
If we just know the scope of the project, we can estimate maintenance costs. I mean, if it's if they identify a gravel parking area and mulch trails and trash containers and signs and things, we can assign some dollars to it.
Okay.
But the thing that worries me the most on this is really the road access, because it's just such a lousy area.
It's a dangerous area. If there was a possibility of getting road access in the Riverside section?
Well, there are two areas. One of them actually is fairly safe. It's on a high bluff. Just before you go down in front of the dam.
The little road goes off.
The only problem with that is you would have a steep trail going down to the sites that you wanted to visit, but that's not impossible.
But they're also getting ready to build in that area, too.
Yeah.
Just above that.
The other question is, and I think the master plan will deal with this, is what are you planning for this? Are you going to have parking for 15 cars, 3 cars, 6 cars, what do you anticipate? I would say maybe 6 or 7 cars should be the maximum that you would have for it, probably.
If you had space for 10, you'd be in good shape.
Right.
Since this is county land, I assume that it'll be legally protected and all for any liability and all.
There's like when it's a park?
Yes.
There's a statutory exemption for county parks.
Right. So we're protected, in other words.
I'm sorry?
Then we're protected. That's what I'm getting at.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
It should be the same as Pleasant Grove, correct?
It should be, yeah.
Okay. No, I assume legally it's the same status as Pleasant Grove because the county owns it. So thanks very much for considering
thank
it.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn.
So I so hope we can.
They can go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying
Ms. Eager.
Yes.
Well, you already have the money to move on the first $5,000. So and
yes, we do.
You've assured us that that doesn't obligate us to go forward.
It doesn't obligate you to do anything.
Okay. Yeah.
It provides
absolutely
you information, sure,
information
for free.
Information shouldn't hurt.
Free information. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
It's free for us.
It's a gift.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good. We like gifts.
I'd like to go down there, but since y'all talking about all these hills and things, I don't know.
There are quite a few hills.
Uh-uh.
We can ride bikes down. No,
what about the ticks and fleas? Would you like those?
Oh, no.
There won't be any ticks because the snakes ate them all.
I walked down one of them last year at one point in time. I fell into a creek.
I would just point out that the lower lock was cleared by four residents from Lake Monticello 15 years ago. The average age of this work crew was 83.
Oh, very good.
And they cleared the whole thing, including removing trees from it. And 6 months after they cleared it, the flood came and filled the whole thing in with silt. So it was sad to see because they had worked so hard on it.
Yeah.
Thank you all very
thank
much.
Thank you. Wow.
All right. Next, we will go to the VDOT Smart Scale program overview. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We wanted to speak with you all about VDOT Smart Scale application process. You may have heard of House Bill 2, HB 2. That process last year has been renamed Smart Scale. It's essentially the same program. And the basic gist of this program is that the state was looking for a way to have an objective review process of transportation projects and scoring those projects against each other to allocate limited taxpayer money to the best projects available. As far as the process, the first part of the process is the staff working with VDOT to determine eligibility of projects and then determining what the funding potential is. The locality then works with VDOT to submit an application. The projects are then screened by VDOT and the Department of Rails and Public Transportation. And the projects are scored by VDOT and the Department of Rails and Public Transportation. Then VDOT submits those projects to the Commonwealth Transportation Board for final decision. The key categories for ranking, there's different formulas how they're allocated, but the main areas are safety, congestion mitigation, accessibility, environmental quality, economic development, and land use. And Smart Scale eligible project and project features, again, it's very flexible. There's many different ways to have a project that could potentially receive funding. There's highway projects, bike and pedestrian projects, transit projects, freight, and right-of-way projects. And there's many different scenarios under which a locality could potentially receive funding for.
And you've got a hard copy of that chart in front of you, this one that lists the ideas and options.
Some dates to keep in mind. Staff has already met with VDOT on July 28th to submit a list of potential projects, and VDOT is currently evaluating those projects to see how much it may cost and what the feasibility of the application is. They're going to get back with us, and we have to give a notice of intent to apply by August 15, 2016. After that, staff will work with VDOT on the application for projects with the best chance of funding. Again, VDOT is they're working out the numbers and the engineering to determine what might be the most feasible projects for us. And the final application is due by September 30th, 2016. And these are a list of potential projects, not necessarily in an order of priority that staff mentioned with VDOT and along with a couple from you all on the board. One is the Palmyra Streetscape. Mr. Stevens can speak more to that than me, but there's some major drainage issues in Palmyra that need to be addressed. Two, potentially adding additional phases to a Fork Union streetscaping. Widening 250 from Route 15 West to Troy Road. Improvements at the intersection of 618 and 600 South Boston Road. And again, improvements at just in general on Route 618, Lake Monticello Road, due to high amounts of accidents. Potential roundabout at Ruertan Lake Road and Route 53. Accommodations on Route 53, potentially bike lanes, and a possible pedestrian bike bridge connecting Palmyra and Pleasant Grove, and improvements on North Boston Road from Paynes Mill Road going east towards Troy Road. And we'd like to start a discussion with you all on what projects the county should submit and how what your preferences would be. Once we hear back from VDOT, we'll be able to put something together that would have the best chance of potentially being funded by the state.
I suggested the North Boston because there have been many accidents, and around Christmas time there was a fatality, and the people that live along that road are very concerned. There's a couple of really sharp curves, and I guess that people get going too fast and across the line. I'm not sure, but it's a high accident area, and I'm concerned about it for the safety of our citizens.
What's the speed limit?
45. Do you know, Wayne, or maybe Eric, do you guys remember, there's already on the VDOT plan some 633 and 600 road widening?
But that didn't include it. It stopped at 600.
Stopped when 600 turned left?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Just want to make sure. Okay.
From Paynesville east to Troy, there's another plan right now.
And there's a whole lot of, I mean, even when you come out of, what's the next road down after Paynesville? It's another one right down across from the subdivision. That's a bad place to get out from.
It is.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. That's just, if I wasn't trying to think of it, I could.
Yes, ma'am. That's right above John's house.
So these are the list that we've got now. What we'd like from you is, if there are any more ideas, we'll add it to this. But also, let's put these kind of in your priority order. VDOT's going to really tell us on whether, like for instance, on number four, VDOT may say, nope, it's not doable or it's not possible.
Doesn't fall under this.
But we'd like to know what your priorities are so we can present that to VDOT in that way, and then they can help work with us on what's doable and what's not doable. Ms. Booker, one note on the Palmyra streetscape. It's not that we would ignore the Route 15 corridor, but we're really focused on the around the square corridor because of the drainage problems, the parking problems, the big ditches that are there, and the difficulty getting around. We've had staff members break ankles out there. I mean, that's the area we're focused on at first. It's not that we couldn't do something on the 15 corridor too, but there's more pedestrians walking around and
I know what she's thinking. She's thinking back to the big plan that we saw back when we were talking about Walker's Ridge
that
showed that strip right down through there. So possibly could be both those different projects. But
sure.
I think safety-wise, I agree with you, this one.
And safety is one of the main reasons why the projects from last year were funded.
Exactly. And I remember them saying it had to be a safety issue for them to move to the top of the list. And we unfortunately had two of them.
We submitted two projects, so we're 100% on getting funded for our projects. So we're hoping to submit more projects that get funded as well.
When do you need this back by?
Today.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to do this today?
The listing and the prioritization, because we have to turn the preliminary list by August 15th.
I can tell you right now,
this just got
Route 603 has a couple of bridges on them that probably need to be looked at. It's
Is it on that list?
No, ma'am, it's not on there, but they're asking for suggestions.
Oh. What route is that?
You know where Patsy and Dewey Payne lived? Mm-hmm. Where Miss Salter lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's the house beside Miss Salter. It's Route 603. Oh, heck, I'm going brain dead again.
Just
north of my house.
That's not Venable Road?
Yes, it's not Venable. It comes off of Tabscott Road. It's a Tabscott Road. Down in the bottom, it has two basic one-lane bridges. And when you go around through there and there are log trucks and you're on a fire truck, you go across a one-lane bridge, up around a 90-degree turn, and back down through the bottom and back through another one-lane bridge within 100 yards or 200 yards.
Wow.
So that's something that needs to be thought about.
So of these that are listed there, you've got 10 items there. Anything bubble up to the top that you'd be the think the county's highest priority?
I think safety is, if that's what they're going to respond to first, let's give them what we think needs attention because of.
No, I agree. That's what we're asking. What do you think is the most important?
I do too. I know that one that's not, I don't think is there, is the Monish Gate. There's probably, is that on that? That's not up there. That probably has more accidents per capita than any other.
That's part of the improvements they're doing when they do the roundabout.
Roundabout, they think the roundabout will help solve that?
Well, part of it, because it slows down traffic corridor there, and they're planning on changing some things through that corridor. Now, they're probably going to change
get a better line of sight.
45 the whole route, but it will change the line of sight there, too. So
the difficult piece of that one is kind of like on some other Lake Monticello pieces, some of the gate areas, those are
private land.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's one of the problems.
Opposite Monish Gate is it drops way off. I mean, so they have to do huge buildup if they wanted to widen there to put it, you know, pass through lane. But they're well aware of the concerns and trying to figure out some stuff, whether it's flashing lights or.
And it's a balancing act between cost and safety and all that. The lower the cost, that also increases your feasibility for getting funded too.
Yeah. But all I said to need low cost would be
all
good.
Of them are safety except for maybe number two. Right?
Well, number three is more just because we think there'll be increased traffic in the future for economic development.
That's not a bad area yet, but no. Yeah, thinking down the road.
And they appreciate that we're thinking in advance of that. Mr. Popowitz started talking to them 3 years ago about it, so they're well aware it's on the list, but it wouldn't be as safety-focused right now.
So number five would be number one, right? Is the most accidents on that road? Is that the one that's the most?
We don't have anything about 600.
They're already doing the work on the fix for that at the Riverside Gate.
You were all getting it because they're probably
which
more accidents
there. 618 is not as much of a problem as 53, 618, and 600.
Correct.
This I don't know that there's a lot of accidents there, but I mean because I drive this every
single
day.
That is a bad
intersection.
It scares me every time I go through it in the driver's ed car.
You cannot see when you're going
west
not a year ago,
at all.
And when you're coming out of 618 or 619, you can't see to your left.
Right. You can see to your right fine, but there's a little dip right there.
Many accidents.
And the bike lane,
So how about this one, the top three? Let's not prioritize them. Let's just look at the top three.
Palmyra Streetscape of the top three would be...
Palmyra would be one.
Are you saying top, just pick three?
Yeah, there's one.
Say North Boston.
North Boston's another one that you can probably correct.
That one, maybe?
Good, yeah.
Number six.
That little spot is terrible.
Right.
Yeah, I'm really surprised we haven't had bad accidents already, but because
you
have long backups.
That's true.
And then you get people that get anxious, and that's when you have your issues.
And one thing that VDOT also spoke up with.
This is probably something, Sheriff. Do you have a thought process of those nine?
I know what I read from VDOT, they put a lot of that burden back on the lake. But they are going to make some improvements on 600. But where you're going, all those are important. Once you progress there, I think.
You agree with that?
Okay, so how about B level? Let's do three B levels.
Number three? Right. Maybe.
Maybe a C for that one.
I don't think that's a B.
Or the one down the bottom, 603, one main bridge.
The one thing about that is not a great deal of traffic there.
Right.
You know,
it's just bad road.
If we got the opportunity to fix it.
One of the B or C?
Well, number five, if you're talking about due to a high amount of accidents, that should be at least
a B. Sure, is 618 a problem? 618 and 600.
Yeah. That's another one that you can be backed up for a while, especially the school traffic. The school traffic is really during that early morning in the evening coming off the
work. 618 there.
You can get idles. I felt bad.
Up there? Huh?
618 is late March.
Yeah, right.
Well, we
have to announce when it's accident 618 just lights up.
If it's at the ends, though.
We're going to have to start putting some lights somewhere. We've got to stop procrastinating on these lights.
I mean, listening to the monitor, I think it's more that where it meets 50. Well, yep. Mr. Stevens?
The 618 one is basically right there where the intersection.
At the two intersections.
Yeah, where you're coming down the hill and you have the hard left and people sliding in the ice now. But that one was actually brought up by VDOT because of their concerns.
That's number four.
Maybe yeah, that's, I thought that. And that one, I don't know if that was a B. That's why I came up here, because when I went out and I drove around with Mr. Saunders, who's the new resident engineer, and we spent some time at that intersection and kind of agreed that whatever you're going to come up with to fix it is going to be expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was even thinking, at first I think he thought you could do something there at the intersection, but by the time we looked at the grades and everything, it almost looks like you'd have to shift that intersection significantly to the, I don't know whether it's the north or the east, but when you're going down Lake Monticello Road and 618 is going off to your left, further down the road, and cut some grade across that hill, which would mean property acquisition and everything else. So from the standpoint of actually feasibility of being able to get it built,
well, then it might not. Dealing with the dam.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think he's talking about pushing it quite down that far.
But coming back towards the bridge, is that what you're talking about?
I think he's talking about going the other way, yes, sir.
Yeah, towards the bridge.
But I'm just thinking from the standpoint of, you know, the sheer feasibility of it, given the amount of money they have to fund things, that one kind of might be a wild card if you put it to the top of your list. It might be one that doesn't get it. I'm just saying that he realized as we were looking at it that it's a bit more complicated than just a mere intersection improvement.
So I've kind of put some letters on it while you were all talking. Does that make sense?
I'd take one of the B's for 618 because those two basically can go together.
Yeah, so we can
just about.
Yeah, four and five would be kind of a.
Okay, we'll combine these two.
So then we're two B's. So of the C's, which other one should become a B?
May I ask a question of you,
yeah.
Mr. Sheridan?
Yeah.
You recommended a possible pedestrian or bike bridge connecting Palmyra and Pleasant Grove.
Yes.
Is there a place where we could do a? It would be, well, kind of expensive to build a bridge. Number seven was something we considered because there already is a pedestrian and bike lane, if you will, on the new bridge on 53. And they didn't put it on there, but the bike lanes that were suggested were basically suggested only down to, at least for now, down to Pleasant Grove and the high school.
That would
give you an access from the Heritage Trail. It would be a little out of the way. You'd go up the river or down the river, over the bridge, then back up the river to get to Pleasant Grove, but it would be.
I would consider doing that all the way to 619 because of the 76 bike route.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
If we're going to do that, I would consider trying to widen it, just put bike lanes in all the way to that intersection.
Because on Courthouse and Venable and stuff, it's not bad riding bikes out there. 53 is terrible. People are much more respectful of those, but 53 is terrible.
I saw Mr. Scruggs at 6 o'clock the other morning turning off 53.
That's right. He's been doing it for years.
Dangerous, brother.
But I was just going to say that if the 7 and 8, I think you can accomplish the goal of 8 by doing a bike lane, a safe bike lane on 53, because then people could get from Palmyra.
And if you put in a little bridge,
to the park,
you'd probably
very easily
get washed out if we get a bad flood, because you'd have to make it low enough. You'd have to make it low enough that it would not be real high.
So do we want to move that one up to B and take the bottom one off for now?
Well, it's sort of combined 7 and 8, because I would consider it be like pedestrian and bike access to Pleasant Grove would be, sort of a
alternate wording, but by doing the bike lanes along 53, you kind of accomplish that.
Those two things can go together, so you basically we'll merge them take, somehow. You can take number 8 off. if we make that one a B.
Sure.
Now, if funding-wise, if we could get funding to go to the high school first and treat the rest of it as sort of a phase two, would that...
getting part of it...
We kind of got to do what we got to do when they
start just talking here, about I'm just sitting here thinking about the number of bicycles that travel through
here
in the summertime.
They're all the time.
You know, we were looking at it from a right-of-way standpoint because there's a lot of county lands along that whole stretch
right.
for the most part.
It would be fairly easy to get the extra land if they needed to do it, except for three or four private owners there who I don't know, they may be easy to deal with too. You never know if it's just a small widening to allow for a safe bike lane. But yes, when Mr. Saunders and I went out to tour some of these sites, I was telling him there was a lot of traffic on 53, and as sure as heck, we turned off a 15 on a 53, and there were two or three bikes with packs and everything on them.
That's what I'm saying. When they put in that 76 bike route, they put it right there, and then it goes off until it gets back to Monticello.
Okay. That's all I had. I just wanted to talk about that intersection at South Boston and
so does that make Lake sense? Monticello We've got Road. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got 8 items. 3 highest priority, 3 middle priority, and 2 lower priority.
That's fine.
That does to me. Mr. Weaver, work for you.
Yeah.
That looks
okay. Fine.
Great.
Safety-wise.
And once these go through the initial vetting, we'll come back to the board because we have to formally submit by September 30th. So we'll talk to our discussions as lead up.
All righty. And that's going to end the presentation for us. Next up is the consent agenda. All righty. Minutes of the July 6th, 2016 meeting. B, AP report, June 2016, Mr. Dahl. W, FY17, supplemental appropriation request for Families Learning Together, FLT program, Mr. Breslau. X, Y, and Z, FY16 A to localities, fire department, Martin Brookhart, management analyst. A, FY17, schools cafeteria fund supplemental appropriation, Mr. Breslau. B, CRM FCHS equipment shed, Martin Brookhart. C, CRM, FCPS, floor scrubber, Martin Brookhart. D, FY16, Department of Social Services, share of the cost allocation funds, Mr. Martin Brookhart. E, FY17, library state aid budget supplement, Martin Brookhart. F, replacement of thermal imaging cameras for fire and rescue, Ms. Toller. G, closed landfill gas monitoring, Cindy Toller. H, closed landfill groundwater monitoring program, Ms. Toller. I, closed landfill quarterly site inspection, Ms. Toller. J, FY16 voluntary contributions, Mr. Burkhart. Are there any questions?
If you ask questions about every one of them, it's going to take a while.
No, I don't have that many. I have basically
a couple I might be able to answer.
Four underlined here.
Which ones are they, Mr.
I'm going to start off with V, the AP, as usual.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Let's see where we're starting. Okay, the first one I was going to mention, we've already discussed it, which was 400. 435.
That was the ambulance service, sir?
Yeah, 435. I was curious on 435, community interface, agriculture supplies, 5 loads. What would that be?
Mulch.
5 loads of mulch for $2,200?
No, it's
$20 a truckload. No, 435. It's a company called Community Interface. It says Ag Supplies, 5 loads for $2,200.
Probably fertilizer. I don't know. Oh, no, I'm sorry, mulch.
It can't be.
Mulch.
Mulch is not that expensive.
How big?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Is it five dump truck loads of mulch?
It's probably been five dump truck loads, because we do a lot of mulching around the town.
It says five loads.
If it's a dump truck.
That'd be four fives or 20, about $400 a truckload or four.
That's about right.
Oh, yes.
Vandalin sells his mulch for $20.
They probably got it from Vandalin, but you gotta think about the cubic footage. You gotta think about how much is on there. How many tons of it is?
I don't know, I just know there's a big sign.
I know it.
For my pickup truck, it cost me about $60, $55, $60 to fill it up.
But if you've got, yeah.
You can picture, there's a whole lot more.
Five, six is a 30.
Yeah, it's probably six, my pickup trucks are going to dump truck.
It's about $400 or $500, the dump truck.
We'll check, we'll let you know.
Okay.
Okay. I think we already went over this in, 449.
449.
Yeah, Trish already got 449. 471.
Tractor Hill.
Tractor Hill equipment.
Yeah, that's $9,735. What was that?
The county had a,
Wayne, the mower for $9,735, was that old?
New mower or repair or what?
No, it was a new mower.
Brand new mower.
Or the zero turn?
Brand new skag.
Brand new skag, turf tire, and we had one that unexpectedly failed in a major kind of way, and it was gonna be about $5,000 to repair it, but it was well over 15 years old, so we elected to replace it.
It costs that much, I have a new one.
Absolutely. That was probably one of those great big ones.
Yeah.
It's a big.
Yeah, the big thing, 60 something, yeah.
Probably six.
I think it ate 200.
I was getting ready to say 6 foot cut.
And one thing you'll note is this is coming out of existing department budgets rather than asking for capital reserve maintenance funds.
And so that hits there, but we have to remember that, that hit, that is an unexpected hit on their budget.
Yes, but Mr. Stevens plans some replacements of things in his budget, but.
Not, he wasn't expecting that, yeah.
But you're expecting a little bit every year, but at least it's not.
We're gonna have some of that along the way, eventually. Okay, 542. The point I guess I wanna make there, Columbia Street Lights. Ordinarily, 3 years ago, we wouldn't have had that expense, would we?
Correct.
We also get about revenue, once we took over Columbia, that probably equals close to that.
But there were other things too that was gonna be spent for Columbia, wasn't there?
No, I'm talking, we get monthly revenue, sales tax.
From where?
Sales tax revenue.
And how much is that, did you say?
I don't know exactly what it is, but if, I remember looking back, it's close to a wash.
A wash with what?
With that. We were getting about $3,000 a year in sales tax from Columbia. And the county, so the county would get the funds, and then the treasurer's office used to have to process checks to Columbia for their portion of the sales tax.
Okay, the other two that I have marked down here is 580, 444. Now, that's the cutting of grass, $1,916 on 580. On 444 is $3,950 for grass. That's a total of $5,866 total cutting grass, which would be at the landfill and other places. Yeah, I guess I question that in the sense that, can we use prisoners on some of this? Or, I know we're using them some.
Well, the one thing you have to remember on the convenience center, so this was for June, so one of the things with one of the positions at the landfill or the convenience center going forward was he's going full-time, so he's going to be able to do some of the mowing out there, but this is for June, but starting July 1.
Well, we'll be down to, we'll only be paying to have the Columbia and Cunningham schools mowed. The rest of the mowing will be done in-house.
So, but these were contracts, right?
Yes.
Weren't they? $5,866 were contracted. I guess I'm just curious, can we not use prisoners here?
We don't get them enough.
Well, have we really tried? how much have we tried? I don't know. I'm asking questions.
No, you have to try, because you're on the board.
I know.
We only get them about once every 3 weeks or a month. It's a rotation.
They don't have this equipment to be able to do this.
There are some options to look into as far as what they were talking about. There are prisoners there that need jobs, and you can hire them at minimum wage, and you have enough benefits.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
I've never heard of that one, so that's a new option. Yeah.
Vanderlyns use the prisoners, and they pay
minimum wage. They use the orange to do their airport, their parks and recs, all that work is done, what they were saying, by inmates.
Yeah, by the inmates. Okay. Well, that's a new option.
Release or something?
Yes.
Well, they said the construction people come around and pick up inmates that run heavy equipment, and they pay them minimum wage, which is $60 an hour, and they don't pay any benefits. Back.
We'll take a look at it and see.
Okay.
Those work release inmates, we just got a notification today that somebody came back from the Department of Corrections will be at the jail. It will now be working for the work release program, paying money back to the jail in order to be there. So that's a program that they adopted last year. And certain inmates are eligible for that program.
Do you know offhand if they require supervision, or they're just work release?
Well, those that like work release, somebody comes and picks them and brings them back, and they're, you know, it's kind of like a trustee.
Okay.
I mean, if they mess up, they mess up. They want to give additional charges and stuff.
That's what they do in Vanderland, and they bring them and come pick them.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And we have to apply for that once you are free being adjudicated, then you can apply for work release.
Yeah,
we'll take a look. We'll see.
I think maybe we'd save some money on that.
I don't think so, because you're going to have somebody in a vehicle going up there to pick them up every day and then bring them back down here.
Yeah, but look what you just got through paying on this.
Yeah, we'll look
over $5,000.
We'll run the cost estimate on things, and I don't think you're going to save any money, but if we are, we'll let you
know.
You're not
very optimistic.
I'm not very optimistic, but we'll definitely research it and then give you figures.
I don't think that we would go up and pick them up. I think that the jail would probably have their own van to bring them down.
I don't think so. For
what he's saying right now, you have to go pick them up.
They'll only bring the prisoners with them.
Oh, that's not a safety issue.
One trustee, we're working on our policy for that. One trustee that will come when they bring them, then he has to go back when they're done, and only on the days that they're coming. Mm-hmm. And then he can work around our office and do things
One of our limitations is the number of equipment, so that means you'd have to potentially buy additional equipment because it can't be used everywhere. But we'll look at it. We'll figure it out. I'm not optimistic, but I'm optimistically going to look at it, Mr. Weaver. We'll research it and give you some figures back.
And Mr. Old, because the person from the convenience center changed his position, he's going to be cutting the grass.
He's going to be cutting the convenience center grass.
Yeah, grass, just not. The only places you said that we were responsible for cutting grass is Cunningham and.
No, the only place where we are contracting grass cutting was the landfill, Cunningham School, and Columbia School.
So the two.
No longer, as of July 1st, contracting with grass cutting at the landfill, just the two schools. We do a lot more grass cutting than that.
Oh, yeah.
They cut hundreds of acres a week.
Right.
The only areas that we did not have the manpower to cover and that we were contracting out were the two schools that are for sale and the landfill. Now that we have a full-time person at the landfill, he will be taking care of the mother duties at the landfill, and that is not contracted.
Okay.
Mr. Weaver, we're always looking at ways to cut for all services.
Point the way a little bit. Be a little bit optimistic here.
I'm optimistic. We're going to look at it hard.
Okay. Mr. Nichols. D, all I want to do is, most of you all are aware of it, Social Services, they get one-third of the money funding, I guess, from the state, and we get two-thirds. The point I guess I'm making, that's another $10,000 that would go in the fund balance that would not be spent in this fiscal year.
So what it is, we do a cost allocation plan every year, and it attributes certain direct and indirect costs that the county supports to support social services. So social services,
right.
The county basically gets federal funding back because of that report showing
right.
what we
understand
how we support them. Well, the board
signed. You underestimated what Social Services would get, so therefore, when you got more, then that would indicate that it would be in this year's budget.
It's not necessarily social services funding. We budget for a certain amount from cost allocation. If it comes in more, well, then that's great. But if it comes in less, then we're not sending them anything different than what we would be. It's always, they always get one third per the county's resolution of what the county gets.
But if it's more than we budget for, yes, it's extra for the fund balance.
Yes, that's the point I'm making.
Well.
And the good thing, some fairly good news, is you'll, in September, get a fairly detailed report on some dollars that will be available at the end of fiscal year 16 on savings and various programs, and then some ideas and concepts on some go straight to fund balance, a couple of the programs that need to be funded. You may be able to use some dollars for that. We just found out today that we had about $50,000 in return dollars from Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention because of the debt service changes. And so this is it's a pretty good news year.
Yeah, we're going to need it all this next
indeed.
Year.
Indeed.
Everything. I wanted to mention H. I'm just sort of curious. We do the monitoring down there. The last one was $7,200. The question is, do we ever take bids on those, or how often do we take bids on those?
So we did an RFP for our task order engineers, and this is one of our task order engineers, and we took bids for all types of services, and so, you know, we will go back out. And I don't know how long, what was it, a five-year contract for all of our task order engineers?
How often do you go out?
Every 5 years. We have three engineering firms that we're kind of contracted with.
And when was the last time that you say?
In 2015.
So it's relatively new.
Yeah.
When were you?
Third year. We talked about it before.
Came aboard.
We talked about that since I've gotten on
the board. Well, yeah. We did it the year before you actually came on the board, that fall.
Because we even talked about that we thought that we weren't going to have to do some monitoring. You might recall that.
At the landfill?
Yes, there was some understanding, some aspect of it. I don't recall exactly what aspect of it was. And this was like a year ago.
All I can tell you is...
We brought that up once before, and we were corrected that, that never took place.
Kenny was on the board. He sat up there, and he insisted that the law had changed and was going to allow us to do something. And the law has not changed.
Okay.
It simply has not.
Okay.
I mean, we're in this for 30 years, basically, from the time that the landfill closed. And now
that's good.
At 15 years,
when
you're halfway through, you can apply for certain
good,
reductions, but you cannot
do
it
15
before
years,
after.
You can apply for certain reductions.
But there'll still be expense. You might be able to reduce it.
What year did we close it?
20.
Mr. Weaver?
Huh?
10,
what year did
2009?
We close?
I think it was 08.
I know we had like a budget of $1 million, and we used.
And I was on the board.
We didn't have enough quite to close it.
I'm pretty sure it was either 08 or 09. So you're looking at probably 2023. We can talk to the DEQ about reducing some of the monitoring requirements, but you're going to have them for about 30 years. Until
right.
The less
should,
logical.
And it should be because of the.
There's no lining there. Yes, ma'am.
Especially
that is absolutely correct.
Lives across the street.
We're going to get that lining there.
I monitored it until forever.
Well, look at Dominion Electric. Look what they did not do. They did not put a lining in there. They should have had a lining in there.
We should have had a lining in our landfill, too, except they weren't required at the time the landfill was constructed. So we don't have a lining. Our landfill is unlined, sir. We don't have a lining in it.
I know all about it. I was on it well before anybody around here was around.
Well, I'm just saying, if Dominion didn't know they needed a lining when they built those
pipes
either.
I went through that phase. I've gone through all these phases.
Your history.
No, my history,
did
whatever.
Did you go through the teenage phase, too?
Huh?
Did you go through that tough teenage phase, too?
Not too much.
So
Okay. No, I'm going to leave that last voluntary contributions alone. I already touched upon it a little bit, so I won't make the point again. You want a motion on that?
Yes, sir. Would love one.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the consent agenda U through J, which includes a accounts payable and payroll to be ratified for June 2016 in the amount of $2,160,000, $691.35.
Do we have a second?
Okay.
The motion's been made by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. 4-0. All right. Any items under unfinished business before the board? I don't see anything.
Unfinished business. I don't know when it should come, but we need to bring up our rules and procedures for the Board of Supervisors that we did not. We didn't pass it in January, did we?
Yes, we did.
We left it the way it was. We didn't. We had some changes in it.
But it was approved.
I didn't remember it being approved.
No, you approved rules and bylaws. They just happened to be the same ones as last year.
Yeah. Right.
The ones that were proposed just got turned down and you approved last year's.
That's right.
We passed the bylaws.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So why? Oh, because I thought there were a couple things in the one that was presented.
Well, there might have been, but it wasn't.
There changes, but we didn't go along with the changes.
We didn't go along with the changes.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of which one was something.
It's a couple of different things about voting and about various stuff that was tried to clear up from issues and concerns from before, but anyway.
Okay.
Any items under new business before the board?
I talked to, I think about this before, but we've done, going through our revenues, I'd like us to take the same bent on our spending. Mm-hmm. Can we do that?
Sure. We did that during budget season, and I'll present that document to you again. Mr. Dahl and I looked at it before we went on vacation. And it's a long list of potential cuts and program changes and all that stuff. But that was during budget season. But we'll buff it up and bring it into the August 17th meeting.
Okay. Now, what is it again?
Program cuts, budget cuts. We've been looking for revenues. But during budget season, we also proposed, here's if you need to change the budget, if you want to reduce expenses, here's a whole long list of possible expense reductions. None of them are easy, but that's what you get paid for. So,
well, that's what happens with the federal government. It, you know,
sure.
Look where we are there. We don't need to count it. Go down that road.
All righty. So we're good. All righty. We will now move to our second round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time? I've got the big no. Okay. Seeing no one wishing to speak, we will close the second round of public comment. We have a closed session. Mr. Weaver.
Mr. Chair, I move the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.1, Section 2.2-3711A.3, Section 2.2-3711A.7, Section 2.2-3711A.19 of the Code of Virginia, 19 and 50, as amended, for the purpose of discussing personnel, real estate, legal matters, and public safety.
Second.
We have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. I've got one thing I just picked up. I saw this sitting here. I just wanted to read this. We got a note. Most people here know that we lost a very valuable member of the community, Mr. Vest, George Vest. And we just got a note. Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors, thank you so very much for the flowers and your visits and all acts of support shown my family during George's passing. The outpour of love and support was overwhelming. God bless each of you. Gloria Vest of family.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven earned a good angel.
You sure did a nice service for you.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A-A of the Code of Virginia 1950 is amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion of which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in a meeting, a second and a recorded vote needed.
Second.
A motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All Ms. Booker.
Yes.
Mr. Weaver.
Yes.
Ms. Eager.
Yes.
Chair votes aye, 4-0.
Motion to extend.
Steve's.
I'd like
Thanks,
to make
sir.
A motion to extend the August 3rd, 2016 Board of Supervisors meeting.
To 11, what time?
To 11.
Till 11 p.m.
Second.
We've got a motion made by Mrs. Eager to extend to 11, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0. Now we've got a couple of more motions that we got to make.
Proclamation.
On the screen.
Somebody want to read that one?
I move that the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution entitled Community Service Award.
Oh. Sorry, I need Mrs. Booker to make the motion and Mr. Weaver
yes,
to second.
Oh, right. Yes, right. I move the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution entitled Community Service Award Resolution recognizing Rudy Garcia.
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0. We've got to have two more of those.
No, the other ones you don't need to approve. They're just certificates. Mm-hmm. I don't require board approval. That I just need your signature before you go.
All right.
Okay.
You have to hang over here late, see, to get that. Do that. We can leave.
Can we get a motion
so
to
just,
adjourn?
Well, just remember, the August 17th, 4 o'clock work session, we'll have Dr. Groover and any of, the, of those folks that I can actually get here. But Dr. Groover, Farm Bureau, John Thompson, Commissioner, all will be here.
And at that's 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock. Are we discussion. Going to have public comment before?
Not. You don't normally for a work session. Well, legally you probably
you're
can,
not,
but there,
you're not required to.
Right. And we normally don't, but it may be a topic that you want to hear. I don't know.
Well,
I think we're going to have a bunch of people show up. Now, I'm not sure if they're going to be here for 7 o'clock or at 4 o'clock.
Well, you advertise it at 4 o'clock.
Let me make a suggestion.
Yes, sir.
If you have a work session on this subject at 4 o'clock and people attend, they'll have an opportunity to hear what was said, and then they can stay for the 7 o'clock meeting and make their comments then.
Because you won't get done at 6 o'clock. You'll be done at probably 6:20, rushing to get to dinner and then rushing to get back to the 7 o'clock meeting, because it'll be a broad discussion, I would expect.
Right.
Yeah, I would think so.
So my point is, that gives them a chance to hear everything.
Right.
They can react to everything they hear, and you can.
And we won't take any action as a board until after we come back at 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Well, there's no action. I don't have any actions planned. No. You can give guidance on potential direction, so I can get it for the August 17th meeting. I mean, the September 7th meeting, whatever it is, September 7th.
Well, it's a work session, though. It doesn't necessarily have...
No, you're
no, but I mean, you may give me direction, and I may prepare stuff for the next meeting, but I won't have any motions prepared on anything. You could do them on the fly, but I wouldn't recommend that.
Work sessions all the time. And
if you don't put it on the agenda as an action item, I wouldn't recommend making decisions on the fly at a work session. No. It's not really fair to the public, my recommendation. Anyway,
so all right, we had a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.